I really believe when I was in, God gave me opportunities in hospital that I wouldn't have had if I wasn't there. You know, firstly, when I came out, Ange took me up to the hospital, and I was just joking with her. I could feel the prayer just permeating me so much, and it was like, wow, God, you're incredible. I'm going in for three-hour surgery, and I'm joking with her. And she was looking at me thinking, this mother. But I know that it spoke to Ange, because there was so much peace on me, and there were so many Christians that were around me. One was pushing my bed, and I said, oh, you know God. And she said, how do you know? And I see the glory. And so it was wonderful, you know. And I think I was just about taken to heaven, to be honest. I was telling Ian, and I said, it was very hard to come back out of anaesthetic, and this won't happen to you, I promise. But anyway, they rang and said, everything's just gone absolutely amazing. The surgery was perfect, but we can't get your mother out of the anaesthetic. And I believe I was in a waiting room, and I believe God, I could have gone to heaven, or I could have come back to earth. And it was like, but God wanted me back. Well, that's the decision he made. But when I was coming back, it was just like, I just saw, it was like an acceleration that I've never experienced. And it was like the colours and the rainbow and the acceleration. And I was just going, whoosh. And I'm going, whoa. I believe, and every time I say to Clive, I'm meant to be here. And it's like it builds you up thinking, God's still got work for me to do, because he's brought me back, you know. And I really believe that. I really believe I was in a place where I the Lord would have called me home. And but coming down this acceleration of the colours, I'm going, whoa, you know. But and there was a time they put me in a room, because I was in this room and everybody landed on their heads, because I was in neurology, and there was, you know, they'd had accidents on their head. I woke up to all pink hair all around me. Everybody had pink hair, and I'm going, what kind of ward is this? They all had pink hair. And I'm going, well, I suppose it's quite pretty, but, you know. And then they'd turn around, you'd see a big bit shaved out of their side. Most of them had been in bike accidents and had landed on their heads and had to have surgery. So I was the only one that was back, and I didn't have pink hair. So, but it was like, wow, what am I in? And then when they took me out the next day, they put me in this room, and the lady, Beth, came up. Just, where is Beth? Beth came up, she prayed for where I was, but there was a lady next door to me, and the doctor came while I was there, just only 2 yards away, telling her that she only had weeks to live. And so that really, and I'm going, God, and you could smell the cancer on her. She had bowel cancer. And I'm going, God, I must be here for a reason, but I don't know how I'm going to sleep with the smell. And knowing that she's so sick, it really affected me. But I said, God, you're here, and I thank you. And Beth came, and she cleaned up all around spiritually, and this lady was hearing, the one over there, they knew we were Christians. And anyway, this lady, I was able to share about Jesus. I was able to tell her what he could do for her, and that she just needed to ask him into his life. And it was like she listened. And anyway, I don't know why. I was only there. I'm sorry, Beth. Beth did all this praying around. But John, the nurse, said, Trish, young lady, and I'm going, oh, I like this place. I like this place. Young lady, you're going to your room on your own. And it was just a blessing, but I was put there for 2 hours to share the gospel. It was amazing. So, you know, God's ways are not our ways. And I was able to have a room of my own and put on my music. He said, what can I do for you? I said, I want my Wi-Fi. I've got to listen to my music. And so I filled it because I thought Beth's not coming back. So I put it on and I just filled the place with the glory of God and the presence of God. And it was just amazing. So, you know, I've been thinking about this week, and it has been a sobering week, hasn't it? And I feel we just don't know when our time is up. You know, my friend Elizabeth, that's only got days to live, she saw me the day before we were having surgery, and she said, oh, we're a great pair, aren't we? And she said, I've got my cancer back, but they're onto it and they're giving me chemo. And she said, I'll be thinking of you in surgery. But here she is, only got days to live. And I never expected that. I got a message about it last week. And I'm just thinking and I'm going, God, how we need to keep short accounts. How we need to keep our lives so right with God. God is bringing everything out into the open anyway. You're going to hear things that are going to come out where people, especially preachers and speakers and prophets, which aren't walking with God, God is going to bring and clean our church out. It's coming fast. Next year you'll see it like you've never seen it before. And I've got here how we have to ask God, how do we position ourselves for 2020? And I've been feeling such a tug to get ready for what is next. I'm positioning myself, waiting to receive my next assignment from God. Most of all, no, there is so much more. And you know, that positioning when Edith was talking about it and Ian was talking about it, but God was speaking to me so strongly. We need to position ourselves to listen to God, to be under the spout where the glory comes out, to hear what he wants us to say, what he wants to say to us. In Philippians 3:13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what God is saying right now. The things where the enemy comes in and pulls you back into your past, back into your failures, back into your disappointments. And God's saying, shake it off. Forget what is behind and reach forward, because 2020 is going to be a year that you've never experienced before. And I'm going to show you what God has shown me about that. Pursuing the prize that is ahead of us. You know, and that is to keep pure and to keep holy in every way. If there's unforgiveness in your heart, if there's bitterness, if there's things in your heart that aren't of God, get rid of it. See, I'm going to tell you one failure of mine, and I'm getting very rebellious about it. But God is speaking to me so clearly. And the sin of pies and chips take over. God is saying, Trish, I want you to eat healthily. And Clive is eating more and more healthily every day. And it bugs me. It bugs me so much. And we were at chart. We used to say, won't you have some chips? Just have some chips. No, I want my salad. And we had Chinny with us. And what does he get? A salad. And I'm going, doesn't anybody want some chips? I think we need to speak to you girls. You know, but it's something God's talking me about. You know, when I was getting in for surgery and I got on the scales, I'm going, oh my goodness. And they had to plonk me on my stomach. So I would have been a heavy dumpling. And I had bruises everywhere because, and the Lord's saying to me, I'm just saying, what is he saying to you? Come on. Pray more, it might be. Read the word more. Have fellowship with people. Go and visit people. What is he positioning you and saying? But I have just dug my toes in and I'm going, I'm having a cup of tea and a piece of Christmas cake. And that's what not God is saying. And then some beautiful friend of mine bought the shortbread. No names. And Clive, do you want a piece of shortbread? No, I don't need shortbread. It's beautiful. I have a piece of shortbread and it's delicious. And I've had another piece of shortbread and it's delicious. And what does Clive eat? A carrot. He doesn't even stray. So the other day, I thought, you know how you get where God is speaking to you and out of your mouth, I go, you're skinny. You're skinny. And I'm going, oh, I know why I'm saying that. But I'm just sharing what God is saying and how we can dig our toes in. And God is wanting to position us to be healthy. And I'm struggling. So there's areas that we struggle in. It might be too much chocolate. It might be too much coffee. Too much Facebook. Too much TV. What is he saying? So you're going to watch me next year, aren't you? But God is saying, don't get stuck in your past. But look to the prize that God is wanting you to do. You know, your past hurts, failures, let them go. Let's break it off you. Every spirit of failure, I find men carry failure far more than what women do. So men, I want to take it off you. Every failure, every past failure. Men feel they've got to be the provider and they've got to do this and that. But God is saying he wants to release you today of past failures. We've all got a past that hasn't been too great. There's been a few things right back haven't been rosy in my life, that which I'd never wished I'd done. We've all got that. Some are worse than others. But God's saying, hey, let's forget the past. Let's get into God. He lifts off. If you're having a battle in your mind and sexuality, I tell you what, when you get into God, he releases you from that. The more we get into him, the more we position ourselves under the great almighty wings of the Father. We don't want to do things. We don't want to say nasty things. We want to be loving. We want to be kind. And God is saying, you know, we've got to go for the prize which is set before us and run the race. Position yourself. And, you know, and I thought, position yourself now for next year. Wow. We cannot change the past, can we? I have made some stupid mistakes. I've married men that God didn't call me to marry. I had antennas up, but I did. Not Mr. Clive, but my exes. But, you know, that is in the past. You know, we can put things right, but God said, don't stay in the past. Because he's got, I tell you what, 2020 is going to look so different than what you've ever, ever experienced. And, you know, I've got, position yourself is to totally follow Christ. In Matthew 16:24, if anyone desires to come, and I just feel emotional over this, after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let us be, you know, like Heidi, just lay down our lives, be laid down lovers for Jesus. That is positioning yourself for what God wants to do. When we die to self, flesh is dead. You know, even with sadness and what's happening, you know, with my friend and that, we've still got to give it to Jesus. And we've still got to walk the life, because the enemy will want to try and take you out with sadness and sorrow. He takes you out and you've got to look above it. Even my sister, I talked to her. She's depressed. She's upset. Well, she's had a stroke. But I've got to get beyond that. Because sometimes I get in her boat and I live it. And I'm thinking I should be there. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. But this is what God says. When you position yourself in me, you will do what only the Father tells you to do. I believe we go here, there, and everywhere because of false compassion. Where God is saying, keep your eyes upon me, turn your eyes upon Jesus, open the eyes of my heart. But God is wanting us to have a clean slate. This is a scripture that I love that I'm bringing out now. It's one of my favorites, and I just pray this is the scripture that will just go right into your being. And it's in John 16:13, and we all know this scripture, but I'll wait till Jan puts it up. But it's been a scripture that has helped me so much. And let's read it together. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. Doesn't that give you goosebumps? It says, he will guide you into all truth. You know, the enemy is a liar. And I really get quite perturbed when I hear people speak and they listen to the enemy so much. But the Holy Spirit that invades us, the Holy Spirit that is in us. I remember I was speaking in this church in Australia, and I just thought, I had Helen with me. I haven't got any anointing. I just don't know how I'm going to do this. I just don't want to do it. And she said, it's nothing about you, Trish. It's the Holy Spirit. And I went, yes. Yeah, that's right. Whoo, the anointing's all over me. Whoa, it's the Holy Spirit. And that's what we are. We are spirit people. Yes. If the flesh dies, we are Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes in us and over us. But what does he do? He guides. That's what I want to get into your head. He is guiding. This is positioning yourself in the Father, because he wants to guide you into all truth. Isn't that revelation? This is a seer anointing, opening up the truth of the Spirit. We listen to negativity. You know, it's so true. The negativity comes in like a flood. But God said, I am the Spirit of truth. You know, it's like I believe God is saying he's going to guide you. Whatever the Father says to you, do it. You know, we go here, there, and everywhere, and we do things and say yes, and God is not saying that. Can I tell you, this is another thing I'm going to confess. How the enemy comes in. Okay, I just come out of surgery, and I'm in this room with all the pink hair, and I'm all tied up with all these machines. You know, everything's beeping, they're doing my blood pressure, they're doing everything. And a lady, because this is a neurosurgeon surgery, this lady came in and she had a very enlarged iris. Anyway, it turned into an aneurysm. So the bowels, she had a real, she was just touch and go, but everybody flew in from everywhere and the whole staff was around her. She was screaming. I was praying, but then fear hit me. And so what does my board do? Lights up like a Christmas tree. Fear hit me. And I had to press my button. And my pulse was 200. My blood pressure was, I don't know, off the wall. And I am a spirit-filled Christian. And you know, the nurse came and he pulled my plug and he said, "You are the healthiest in this ward." So I've told you something, but fear hit me. The enemy came in like a flood. And I'm just saying that and showing you my weakness. And as soon as he pulled that plug and he said, "You're the healthiest," then faith came up. I could have preached to anybody. But before that, I haven't told my daughter, Diane. I haven't told her that, but she thought I was so brave in every area. So that's... But, you know, it's like whatever the Father says, he didn't say to get panicky. The enemy did. See, when we position ourselves in God, I believe we're coming into a place where God is going to be so over us, in us, through us, that fear is not going to touch us. But spend time with Jesus, and I believe, as Edith said, start journaling, start waiting on God. He wants to position you. You know, Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." And this is what God is saying, that things you've never known before, he wants to tell you. Okay, so get your phones out and write it down. Write down what God is saying. Instead of texting, journal. And this, can I just share what I feel God is saying for next year that he's shown me so far? Whoa. God said first, "Trisha, are you ready for the next move?" And I asked him, "What is it going to look like next year? I'm positioned, Lord. What is it going to look like? I want to be ready. I want my shoes on of readiness. I don't want the past to touch me. I don't want all the negativity. You've got my back in order. Pass the test. Amazing operation. Getting better every day. So I'm ready to run the race." And he said, "This is what it's going to look like, Trish." And this is only part of what I see for 2020. I love that 2020, I think. Wow, that was amazing. I do believe there'll be a great shaking in the church. I was listening to this man on, was it Sid Roth? And he said, already there are so many pastors, missionaries that have failed. And God doesn't want them to carry on, but they're carrying on in their own flesh. But they have failed the test of how to walk with God. There's sin in their lives. And God said, "I'm going to shake everything. I believe there's going to be a real deep repentance. And I feel that so strong. And as soon as you say anything wrong, God's going to come and touch you and say, you didn't need to say that. There's going to be a deeper repentance. I want to go deeper. I want to go so deep in repentance that I'm so pure, shining with the glory of the presence of God. I want it. I just say, God, bring it on. You know, people that are in things that they shouldn't be. And there's so many Christians that are walking in things. And their language and everything is not holy. You know, when I was a little girl, my parents swore like I don't know what. The language was horrific. I was always called a B-A-R, you know. Always. Or a little devil. That was what was over me. My mother had every swear word. She knew every swear word. And I remember going to Auntie Margaret's and Pauline and I having a competition to see how many swear words we knew. And Pauline would come out with one and I'd come out with one. And Auntie Margaret, who was the only born-again auntie that I had, walked into the room and says, girls, that's not nice what you're saying. And I remember that going into my spirit because I wanted to be like Auntie Margaret. But when I became a Christian, when I was 12, at every girls' rally, I said, God, I don't want to swear. I don't want anything to come out of my mouth that is not honoring you. I want my mouth to be clean. You know, like Isaiah, I'm a man of unclean lips. And we say these words, but they're the world's, they're Satan's, they're enemy's words. And God is saying, let's have a cleansing and repent. You know, sometimes I remember going over a bridge with Clive and this car came right over the other side. And I said, S-H-I-T, and I couldn't believe it came out of my mouth. But I confessed it. It's just what's in your heart sometimes comes out. But I repented and God was so pleased with me. But I, you know, when you're brought up in a non-Christian and that language and you know, it's just, I don't know whether my children swear. I've never heard them swear. But I think they honour me, which is wonderful. My grandchildren don't swear. So I don't know whether they swear, and I can't, you know, but it's around me they know that I don't like to swear. There'll be many souls saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. 2020, that basket we've got, souls are going to come into the kingdom like never before. I just know that. Even my children are asking me to pray in certain areas, and I'm going, thank you, Jesus. You know, my aunt used to be so on fire for God. She'd pray like me. She'd be in deliverance like me. And, you know, they fall away, and she hasn't brought her children up to know Jesus. And I'm going, God, get her again. And I believe that while she was with me and she saw the love of people, how they treated me speaks volumes. And number four, there'll be many changes. God said, get ready for change. And I just, you know, when we position ourselves, God might just say, I want you to go here. I might want you to go there. I don't know. He might want you to give up something. He might want you to shift. He might want you to give you a new job. It's be ready for change. But I believe it's going to change the atmosphere in a way that we've never experienced before. We're living in the atmosphere of His glory. I love it when I sit in my seat and I'm soaking and He comes over me and He just floods me. And I'm going, oh, I want more, Lord. I want more. And I don't know what. I don't know what the change is. There might be changes in this church. There might be new pastors next year. You've got to get ready. We've got to get ready for change. I'm not saying I'm stepping down, but if a godly couple came along that were young, full of vigor, full of the Holy Spirit, why not? Just be ready for new leadership. But I just throwing that in there. I'm just throwing it in. He might old Trish to go till I'm 90. There'll be many healings, signs and wonders and miracles. And what I love more, there'll be no more spectators. This is what God said. The whole body of Christ will be used with a greater unity. The whole body. You know, I am just so blessed. I could be away for 6 weeks and I knew the church would just carry on without me and they would do well without me. And you did, and I never worried. Because we are one in the Spirit. And I was just overwhelmed with goodness about that. I'm just going, wow. Am I going over? Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna close down. So we're not gonna be spectators anymore. Everybody is going to be part of the glory of the signs and the wonders. Who's ready for that? Hallelujah. Whoa, and I know God wants to position us with Him. Whoa, let us burn His truth into our hearts, mind, and souls. I really felt that. You know, He's going to guide us with the truth. And you imagine waking up. I'm getting dreams and visions like I've never had before. I believe I touched heaven when I was in that waiting room. But I just get down. We were talking with someone yesterday, and I said, "Do you know what the problem is?" And I'm going, "Whoa, that came down like lightning." And it was like a real sear opening up anointing. And I'm finding God's doing that more and more. And, you know, when you're in a vision, you know, you might get a picture. It's lean into it. Lean into what God is doing. If you get a vision, just say, "God, I want more. I want to lean into this." And He shows you so much more. So I just want to stand. I want you to stand. And, you know, God said He wants to tell you more than He's ever told you before. He says, I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. So we've been talking about the seer anointing today. And I just feel God saying that with the Holy Spirit, wow, He wants you, wow, I feel this so strongly, whoa. The Holy Spirit's going to guide you in so much truth. And when you've got opposition, you stand in the truth of what God's showing you, and don't let man take you off track. I just say that from, I just feel that's from heaven. If God is telling you something to do, and you know it's what the Father wants you to do, you stand there and you say, "This is what the Father's telling me, and this is what I'm doing." Don't be swayed this way and that way. But let the Holy Spirit of truth be your guide. He's your guide. And He will take you out of anything that you are in if you're caught up in anything that's addicted, God will take you out if you follow and allow the Holy Spirit to saturate you. Be saturated with the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. So the enemy is behind you. Kick him behind. I don't need you, Satan. You're a liar. You come to rob. You come to steal. You come. He even comes. You know, God gives you a prophetic picture, and then you sit there and you think, "Oh, I don't want to say it because I don't know." And the enemy says, "Nah, it's not right." And then your heart's beating like this. You know, it's a prophetic word from God. God said, "Stand with the truth of the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. So, Father, I just want you to lean in your mind. Father, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you come. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're our guide. And you tell us the truth. And, Lord, I pray that you will saturate us with the Holy Spirit. Whoa. And with the truth of your Spirit. And Lord, we will stand in the ground. We will position ourselves. I believe over this week, you ought to get a pad and pen. You're to position yourself and say, "God, what is 2020? What is it going to look like for me?" And He is going to tell you the truth. Hallelujah. There's not going to, you know, it's like sickness is going. I believe death is going. It's like God is saying, "I want the truth is that you are healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Our bodies are healed by the cross." We've got to speak the truth over us. Sometimes we need surgery. And I'm not repenting on that because I knew that's what God told me to do. But now, the rest of my body, I'm going to be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Have you got anything to add? I feel you have. Come up. I just let that seer anointing come now for 2020. Do you know you go to bed with an angel in your room? And do you know that angels give you dreams? Do you know that angels are with you? Do you know that the Holy Spirit, if you go and say, "Holy Spirit, I want to be so filled with you, give me dreams in the night." And nightmares from the enemy, just say, but sometimes they're a warning from God. But I just believe God is saying right now, 2020, if you write it down, you know, in Habakkuk, write down your vision. Write down what God is saying for next year. You know, if you've got a sick person, just see them healed in the mighty name of Jesus. 2020 is going to be a good year in God. But there's going to be a shaking.